Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. Teach us tonight by the Holy Spirit. And Lord, come quickly. Need your righteousness and your justice. So I ask you to come quickly, Lord Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen. All right, chapter 10. And after Abimelech there arose to defend Israel Tola, the son of Pua, the son of Dodo, a man of Issachar, and he dwelt in Shamir in Mount Ephraim, and he judged Israel 23 years and died and was buried in Shamir. And after him, Jair, a Gileadite, judged Israel 22 years. He had 30 sons who rode on 30 donkeys, and they had 30 cities, which are called cities of Jair, Havoth Jair, unto this day, which are in the land of Gilead. And Jair died and was buried in Kamon. As we study the book of Judges, and a couple things that I need to do tonight is remind us that this book for us is a warning not to live like the people around us. And I take this to heart. Not to live like the people around you. Don't follow their ways. Follow the Lord. We have a repeat again tonight where they once again do evil in the sight of God. And they start serving other gods. Now, it would be an understatement for me to say this, so I'll say it, and you already know it's an understated fact because you can't measure it. That's why it's understated. Idolatry is a big problem in the church. Okay? Idolatry is a big problem in the church in general. Now, describing this, not to follow their ways, but to follow the Lord, and not to turn aside or right to the right or to the left. Find your way to Ephesians 4. I don't think I've talked about this since we began the study. And I want to talk about it, so I get to say that. And while I'm talking, you guys can do whatever you want to do with it. But I want you to listen. Now, we studied Abimelech, type of the Antichrist. Okay? Studied Abimelech last week, type of the Antichrist. Who's the last type of the Antichrist that's lived in our knowledge that we can honestly say he was the last type of the Antichrist? Hitler. All right? Okay? So do this with me. Just again, a fun little thing in regards to understanding. 22 and 23, that's the numbers right there, right? So you've got two judges that follow up after Abimelech that seemingly Israel walked with the Lord. And it went pretty well for them, right? And we come to tonight, if you catch it, so 55 years later, after Abimelech. So just kind of work this out. And again, I'm not calculating to the day. I'm just trying to get us the context of the book of Judges so we can see something I think we need to see. And if you take 1945 and add 55, what do you have? 2000. Okay. Now, I'm going to show you a couple things tonight that this warning not to live like the people around you. If this was ever more true of the church, now more than ever. Because the transference and the speed at which the world's ideas, philosophies, sins, widespread ability, if you will, of every false doctrine, but also of every evil practice. And not only are they spreadable, if you know where to look for them, they are accessible. Now, I'm not saying go look for them at all. I'm saying you need to understand that we're at all-out war. Right? We're at all-out war in the spiritual realm. And the church is busy doing other things. Ephesians 4, 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Now, if I could speak in the context of Judges with this warning that I've taken up, the futility, the vanity of their mind, again, right there in 4:17, right there in your notes, write reprobate mind or debased mind and attach it to Romans 1. God gave them over. They chose not to retain the knowledge of God. God gave them over to a debased mind. Now, I don't know if you ever thought it would be like this, but there's Christian amusement parks. There's Christian dance places. I mean, it's the world rebranded Christian. It's the Christian music industry is just like the world's music industry, if you will. And why I say that, if there ever was a time that I needed to say it, this warning and this 4:17, not to walk as the other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Now, but ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and ye put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now in this warning, again, working this through a bit, let's get into Judges 10. Let's catch this. I want to frame that context. 55 years after Abimelech, verse 6, right? That the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals, plural for Baal, Baalim, and Ashtaroth, the gods of Syria, the gods of Sidon, the gods of Moab, the gods of the children of Ammon, and the gods of the Philistines, and forsook the Lord and served not him. Now, here's where we end up tonight. So just as I'm setting this in place for us, we end up with this phrase that I'm going to share with you now, Mizpah. Okay? Mizpah. So this is your call to watch and pray. Okay? So I'm calling us, since their foolish hearts are darkened, the vanity of their mind, the sleepiness, if you will, or the deadness of the Laodicean church, acclimated, if you will, to the world. Worldly, because it's worshiping the same God as the world. So I look at verse 6, and like, children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord and served the gods. And now notice, I mean, these are all the gods around every direction. So go back to the end of the last type of the Antichrist. Now, he wasn't the Antichrist, but in that typology, I mean, Christians alive were wondering, is this guy the beast? They're watching this and like, is Hitler the beast? And I mean, for us to enter into the book of Judges and catch this, that in 55 years, it's the year 2000, and for us to miss just how wicked this millennia has been. There's been, again, just in this regard, 2015, the U.S. Supreme Court calls homosexual unions marriage. You hear that? 2015. 2001, attacked, a terrorist attack in a major way in our largest city, in our nation. And just start to step through this. Who would have believed that the whole transgender thing would be in your face? I mean, did you think about that? Like I said, now, I'm going to do this for us because I want you to see this, that that this time frame, if you glance down to verse 8, 18 years now. So just, I'll just lay it out in this way. Rough numbers, that puts us to now. Okay. First iPod, 2001. iPad, 2010. iPhone, 2007. Now, would you imagine just how much, again, not that that's the only one, but it's certainly like for us, like, could you imagine life without a smart handheld computer? Travis? Yes, I can. I lived it. There you go. Oh, I did too, right?
Yeah.
But now, have you not noticed that what is now transferred? And I was on a flight coming back from one of the travels this year, and I get to the end of the flight, and then all of a sudden the wheels touch ground, and everybody turns their device on, and there's this young gal ahead of me, and I could see right through the seat, and she is like, I've never seen such lightning fast. She had to catch up on all of her social media, and it was like sub-second views of these things. And like the screen just flying by, and why I say this is like, not to cause any of us, like get rid of your phone. I don't think that. Now, if you have to because you're sinning with it, like cutting off your right hand or plucking out your right eye, you got to do that between you and the Lord. But what I'm talking about tonight is I need you to see this, and you get verse 6. They did evil in the sight of the Lord. It's the idolatry. And in every way, the gods of this world are being worshipped. Right? You think of the gods, Ashtaroth. That's the goddess, again, of the Sidonians. Together with the Baals, when Ahab marries Jezebel, her father is a priest of Baal, and she's from Sidon. And so this worship of these gods, you'll notice that it's all around them. And as they turn to worship all these gods, Chemosh and Milcom, right, the gods of Moab and Ammon, they're the ones in the worship of those gods, baby sacrifice. Okay? Not too much unlike who would have thought that we would be pushing the law to kill babies outside of the womb? And it's astonishing since 72 that you could kill babies in the womb, and you'll notice that the overturning of Roe v. Wade hasn't stopped the killing of babies. Now, I'm just putting all these things before our eyes in the context of 55 years after the type of the Antichrist died, and I'll just say it again. Let's look at this verse. Go to Genesis 6. So, I think if you'll... Well, let's just pick this up first. I won't change subject. Genesis 6:1, it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth. Okay? How are we doing so far right now? Are men multiplying on the face of the earth? Even though we're killing our babies, what are we finding out? Those population numbers? Right? If you look at that, sons of God saw the daughters of men, took them as wives. Verse 3, the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120. So again, you think about before the flood, they were living to be 1,000. Now we're certainly capped by that 120, but population is still increasing. There were giants in the earth in those days when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men and had children, men of renown. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. See that in 5? Genesis 6:5. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And then look at that phrase in 6:6. It repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Now, for us to then think of God like a man, like we would be grieved or we would repent, because God doesn't repent. He doesn't repent the way we do, and he's not grieved the way we are. But in order for us to understand that evil continually affected God. And judgment came. Now, when I come to Judges chapter 10, and I see this likeness of judgment, look at verse 7 with me, 10:7. The anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hands of the Philistines and into the hands of the children of Ammon. He judges his own children. Now, it says that he was hot, right? The anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. Now, just hear me on this. Jesus has promised us that we are not appointed under wrath. Okay. So the wrath of God that came upon the world in the days of Noah, the wrath of God that came upon Sodom and Gomorrah in the days of Lot, okay, the wrath of God that's coming upon this world, right, as in the likeness, as Jesus said, so will be the days of the Son of Man. Now, in the context of taking Judges 10 and then looking at what they did and what I'm seeing now today, when I take you to 4:17, I'm seeing a church that's worldly. I don't know if any of you have looked up, you know, the Democratic nominee for vice president. Do you know where he goes to church? Do you know what that church is teaching, spreading, sharing? I've known this. One of the three churches that sued him over his unconstitutional behavior, acting, passing, or enforcing mandates as law during the forced shutdown. And he was sued, and one of those pastors was able to meet with him because a friend had a favor with the governor, and he called in that favor to have one of those pastors come and confront the governor on his wickedness. And he brushed it off because, well, my church, or our church, it is affirming of every evil, wicked thing going on now in the world. Affirming of all homosexuality, all transgender, affirming of getting that type of literature. They're publishing literature for children. Okay? Now, that's just an example, and I could go again. I'm just making you aware why this is Mizpah tonight. Why this whole study leads us to watching and praying. Now, in describing this, the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. Now, there's a couple of phrases. One of the churches, Jesus introduces himself and then writes a letter to them, and he says that those who will not repent, I will come and fight against them with the sword that proceeds out of my mouth. And we don't get that. We get it, we don't get that. Okay? The anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he judges them. Verse 8, in Judges 10, verse 8, the effect of that, that year they vexed and oppressed the children of Israel. Crushed them was really kind of the word. It's and then it says 18 years. So this continues over and over for 18 years that were on the other side of the Jordan in the land of the Amorites, which is in Gilead. And then moreover, the children of Israel of Ammon passed over the Jordan to fight against Judah, against Benjamin, September 11th, 2001. Anybody know that? Okay. Now, it's not just one thing under attack. I'm not talking our country. I'm talking the world. But now let me illustrate this. The nation that was able to withstand the last attempt at, like, the type of the Antichrist. You do realize without America, we would be looking at a different outcome. So Satan's plan, right? Now, just again, working with me on, again, you think of the dates, and since 2000, why did all this technology come to the forefront and the internet, and why did that all come then? I'm absolutely convinced. People did not see it a value to spend money on technology before they were forced to do so and upgraded all their computers over this fake thing called Y2K. And what it really did is it opened up the budget for people like, I'm going to spend money on this now. And that's a floodgate. Now, to whoever's listening, man, they probably think I'm crazy talk like this, but this isn't formed by, like, you could make it all about stats, because what I'm going to share with you next is stats, but it's not all about that. I just need you to see this, right? The whole world's going to be handed over to the rule of one counterfeit Christ. That's where we're going. And the restrainer, as he, the Spirit indwells the believers, the church, the true church, right, the born of God, and that restrainer, the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Spirit, as long as he is here, that Antichrist cannot be revealed. But as this is coming, I'm going to be handed over. And I look at this environment we are now in. It's hard not to say at least we're being straightened or pressed or narrowed in that regard. But there's more and more Christians being oppressed and crushed in the world. Now, the more that the church is being persecuted, what do you know? They're growing. Fastest growing place of the church right now in the world, we're told, is in Iran. So you take that to heart and you consider that. And the only thing, right, the only thing that's holding this back is the Holy Spirit, with where we're at now. So 2015, the Supreme Court, the not-so-Supreme Court, introduced that. How have we done in the last 10 years? Have we, has it gotten more loving, more truthful? Are children safer? You read the paper, and it's like over and over and over again. And when I describe it in this way, I believe that what we're experiencing now in the world is exactly what the Bible prophesied about, that perilous times would come. And when I describe it in this way, and I'm going to take it to heart, because the end of this study is Mizpah. Okay? So let's learn what happens for the children of Israel. Moreover, the children of Ammon passed over the Jordan to fight against Judah. So Muslim population since 2000 in the U.S. Now, in 1871, 13 Muslims in the United States. Okay? Anybody want to take a shot at it? What the change is from the bombing of the towers to where we're at now? Okay. So anybody know that number? Right around 2011. Right? Pew Research, those guys, they calculate these things out. They say about 574,000. 2020? Right, the census and those that identify, 4 million. Now, when we study this out and look at this, where's the largest population of Muslims in the U.S.? New York, largest number, New York. But per capita, Dearborn, Michigan. Okay. Now, why should that be any consideration? Gods of Sidon, gods of Moab, gods of Ammon, foreign gods. That god that the Muslims worship does not have a son. Okay? Just lay it out that way. And why I describe it in this way is we need to see that just like I can say the gods of, and I can point to the killing of the babies, that was a worship that they did for Chemosh and for Milcom. And then you've got the gods of the Sidonians, the Ashtaroth, the fertility, and then the goddess of sexual pleasure. Now, the numbers are absolutely astounding. I don't even like to read them or talk to you about them. And the worship of sexual pleasure is through the roof. Percentages are high. Now, why I say this, I read verse 6, and all I can come to is like somewhere between this, all like that the children of God, like the world, are serving all these same gods that they are serving in the world. And who could imagine that we'd want this? That we'd, when given the opportunity, again, and then people still want to be killing their babies before they're born, and then some want to kill them after they're born. And I'm vexed and oppressed when I do the study this way. Aren't you? You see, like these things that are going on. I remember 2015. I remember when the not-so-Supreme Court passed that. I'm like, they've lost all judgment. I'm just describing this because I knew it was a slippery slope. Once you change that definition, it makes an entrance for this thing that God created, marriage and male and female, a man shall leave his father and mother. Once that all took place, it's like none of this is going to be protected. No one is safe anymore. Are women safe in this country? I can't imagine a woman wanting to live homeless as a choice. They're just describing these things that are going on all around us for 18 years. And I think sometimes we miss that it took that long, or it was that long, that they were oppressed and vexed for 18 years. I'm in verse 8. All the children of Israel that were on the other side of the Jordan, that's Gilead, the land of the Amorites. Moreover, the children of Ammon passed over the Jordan, fought against Judah, Benjamin, and Ephraim. So the whole heart of Israel, and they're warring against them. The children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Verse 10. Now, my word to us, if you have the understanding of what it was in the days of Noah, and what it was in the days of Lot, that those are the days immediately preceding the wrath of God, judgment and wrath of God. Romans 1 declares that through this gospel, the power of God is revealed from God to save, from heaven to save. And that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven, right, just two verses later, against the ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. I mean, does anybody here believe the news anymore? You do? All of it?
Not all of it, no.
Okay, so then... Right, so you like some news.
Yeah.
Right. But here's my word. We don't even think it's going to be true. And I don't think we're alone on this. Now, why I describe it in this context, and why I bring us to this attention... Someone's got to cry out to the Lord. Someone. Now, it says the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. Was it all of them? I don't know if it was all of them, but someone started crying out to the Lord for what was going on. Now, our prayers here are mercy and repentance, right? Crying out for mercy. Children of Israel cried unto the Lord, saying, we have sinned against thee, both because we have forsaken our God and served the Baals. Now, Jeremiah, when they are being carried away captive for this, he says that they committed two evils. They forsook the living God, the fountains of living water, and they exchanged it for cisterns, but the cisterns were broken, saying how they left the living God to serve gods that weren't gods. Psalm 115, right? They have no eyes, they have no mouth, right? Or they have eyes, but can't see, They have a mouth, but they can't speak. They have ears, but they can't hear. And so is everyone who worships them. Now, I describe it in this context. So we get this, what's going on in the days for the children of Israel. They cried unto the Lord that we have sinned. Well, that's repentance. That's change of mind. That's after 18 years. Now, here's now what I'm watching. I'm not watching the church say and cry out, we have sinned. I'm watching the church change things and say, that's no longer. We don't even use that word, sin. Now that, I believe, is the effect of a church that has become lukewarm, acclimated, watching the same entertainment. You do realize that there was a time when you would not find a gay character in any TV show. And then pretty soon you saw one in every TV show. And this, the changing of the light in which one would be presented. Now, one of the local breweries is doing a benefit together with the Rape and Abuse Crisis Center. And they're doing this for a woman who was murdered by her live-in boyfriend. Right? But get this. If you read all about it, they were meth heads. They were high on meth and not even in reality when he murdered her. Now, again, those writing the story, they won't say what I just said because the case isn't over yet. Active shooter? You mean murderer? Now, what am I... At some point, we're either going to be zealous for the Lord and we're going to be on fire. And we're going to say what things are and we're going to know what they are and we're going to answer things. And why I describe it in that context is... if we acclimate to the world, we're lukewarm. We have nothing to say. Jesus is outside the church. When he comes knocking on the door, they can't hear his voice. Or if those who do hear his voice, then they open up the door and let him in to once again dine with him. Now, I'm finding this as I describe this, that this coincides with Bible prophecy that we're watching. We've never been more clear on the staging for Ezekiel 38. And 39, those nations that will gather together in an all-out ground offensive to go into Israel, those nations are the ones that are saber-rattling. They're the nations that are in league together. And every one of those nations that are named, they all are weaponizing. And describing all this and watching this, and I look at this... forsaking of God. And that's where the numbers... So you go from a nation that's forsaken God and you look at the rise of the church that is affirming of sin. Now, they served other gods. And the Lord, this is 10:11, the Lord said unto the children of Israel, did I not deliver you from the Egyptians, the Amorites, the people of Ammon and the Philistines? The Sidonians also and the Amalekites and the Maonites did oppress you, yet you cried out to me, I delivered them out of your hand. Yet you have forsaken me and served other gods, wherefore I will deliver you no more. Now, I don't know what it's like to be God, and I'm not pretending to say that with what I say next, but the Word of God says this, that in Ezekiel's day, because of the wickedness that was in men's hearts and what they were worshiping, and the question that God asks Ezekiel, and he says, should I let these men come and inquire of... They come in before the prophet to hear a word of the Lord, and God says, should I let these men even inquire of me? Okay? Now that stings, and yet I'm reading this, and God says, I've delivered you from all these nations, and all that. I have power and victory and authority over all of them, and now you're serving their gods that they I've defeated them, and now he puts them back into their hands. And And he says, I'll deliver you no more. And look at 14 with me. Go and cry unto the gods which you have chosen. Let them deliver you in the time of your trouble. Now, just in this regard of, in this lukewarm environment, acclimating to the, why can't we all just get along? And who said that the God of Islam is a God of peace? Right? Peace when what? Foot on the throat with a sword? 2.5 million in South Sudan killed for that very sword. Now I describe all these things, and again, just the whole idea here, this study ends up where? What's that word? Mizpah. Go and cry unto the gods which you have chosen, let them deliver you in your time of tribulation. Now, the wisdom laid out in the Proverbs says, what's money worth in the day of trouble and judgment and wrath? Nothing. Okay? And what are the other gods that people serve? The gods of pleasure. Or how about this one? The self-love of this. You should always be happy. Who in here is always happy? Okay. Now, as you put this into play, and we're there's a living God who has revealed Himself, and again, just this morning, and I know where this is going, and I got stuck on this phrase. Anybody who comes to God, right, must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Hebrews 11. Must believe that He is. The laying this forth in this way, and he says, you wanna worship and serve the gods of this world, the gods of pleasure, the gods of lust, the gods of money, the gods of power. 1995, Purpose Driven Church is published. Widely spread to the churches. 2002, Purpose Driven Life, the 40-day program to give you a different purpose, rather than what I would say the eternal purpose. Very subtle, very sneaky, very difficult to detect that it was bad seed. And some would even insist today it wasn't bad seed. I'm saying after 20 years of that fruit, or if I can use this number, after 18 years, the fruit of it is it produces the acclimated church that is widely accepting of whatever the world wants to do. If you didn't know this, you should now know it, that when the world did their forced shutdown, the church fell right into line. The lukewarm Laodicean church fell right into line. Now, when I describe where this study ends up at Mizpah. Okay? We're not done yet. We're not over yet. Okay? Go cry unto the gods which you have chosen. Let me illustrate. Holy Spirit out, right? Mental health in. One in five, before the whole forced pandemic shutdown, loneliness destroying people's lives, one in five had a therapist, or at least once. Okay, country population now one in four. That's a huge shift, change, adjustment. Now, why I'm describing this is, I get it. If the world doesn't have God, the world doesn't have the Holy Spirit, the world doesn't have the power of God, but I'm watching a Laodicean church, right? Ephesians 4:17, in the vanity of their mind, foolish heart darkened, seek after the answers that the world is seeking for, the same medications, right? The same empty therapy. I will not be lukewarm. I'm gonna be on fire. This is my encouragement to you. This is Mizpah, right? I don't think for any reason that there is a true science with how mental health is being presented to the church. I think it's deceitful. Now, that's just my illustration. Go cry unto the gods which you have chosen. Let them deliver you in the time of your tribulation. And when I find out people go that way, I mourn over their choice because I know they won't be helped. Because the helper is the Holy Spirit. He's the counselor. He heals. There's no healing power in that philosophy of man. I just, as I let the gods that you've chosen to serve, let them help you in your trouble. The children of Israel said unto the Lord, we have sinned. Do thou unto us whatsoever seems good unto thee. Deliver us only, we pray thee, this day. Israel remembered that it's the goodness and the kindness of the Lord that leads them to repentance. I'm so hopeful that the church can get out of the homosexual agenda. I'm still hopeful that the church can get out of the philosophies and practices of the world that has led them into serving other gods, the gods of this world, the gods of intellect. We've studied 1 Corinthians, the wisdom of man, which is foolishness in God's eyes. Now, when I talk this way and describe this, where does a Christian turn when you're in trouble? To your God. You cry out to God. When you've sinned, and call it sin, where do you turn? You cry out to God. You get alone with God. When you're in trouble, when you're lonely, is God first? I re-listened to a study I picked up last October, and this phrase was in that study. Is he your first refuge or your last resort? Do you pray? Now, why describing this is like I'm stirring us up because I believe with the Church of Philadelphia, I believe that there's an open door. I believe that we have the testimony of Jesus Christ, and we have his word. And I believe this is how we're living. And now I would exhort and encourage all of you, is there is help in God for you. But if you turn aside, like the children of Israel did, to worship and serve other gods that are not the living God, cry out to them. That's what God said to the children of Israel. And they said, no, we've sinned. They repented. I said, God, do whatever is good in your eyes. Save us. That's their cry. Save us this day. They put away the strange gods from among them. Foreign gods. Gods that were never their gods. Look at all the gods of the East. I haven't even talked about that yet. Who knew that yoga would be a household term that everybody understands? Or this phrase, mindfulness. Meditation, all that stuff, that was never here before. Strange gods. No. Again, I'm not documenting any of this. I'm just putting it before you. I'm telling you what I'm seeing, and I'm seeing a likeness, and we are being vexed and oppressed, and we're at least in that same 18-year sort of thing after the 55 years since the last type of the Antichrist that this has not been, the last 20 years have not been great for the righteousness and holiness and godliness. And at the same time, the church is still growing. But the church in this country, who's rich and wealthy and have need of nothing, is Laodicean. Where's the church growing? Where it's persecuted, where it's the church of Smyrna. You're hearing me, I believe. They put away the strange gods. Oh, how I'd love to see the Laodicean church hear the knock on the door and hear Jesus' voice and let him back in and partake of him. The Laodicean church that has no need for the cross. The Laodicean church that has no need for the blood to cleanse and forgive and wash clean. They put the gods away and they serve the Lord. Genuine church, to offer your bodies living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Serve the Lord. And it says that his soul was grieved for the misery of Israel. Again, the same thing like his soul being grieved that he had made mankind in Genesis 6. Now he's grieved over his hot anger to hand them over to these other nations. And now in their misery, they're crying out, they put away those false gods. And here's why we're in a far more dangerous place. As part of that Laodicean purpose-driven church, it took eschatology and the study of prophecy out. The things to come that the Holy Spirit said would be coming, it literally ensured a Laodicean church would be ready to do whatever the spirit of Antichrist wanted to do in the world. Jacob had to put away the strange gods. Hey, when you got saved, what did you have to do? Put away the strange gods. Or maybe when you came back after backsliding, what did you have to do? To put away the strange gods. I had strange gods that my family never partook of, and I was worshiping and serving these strange gods. He was grieved. Children of Israel, children of Ammon were gathered together and camped in Gilead, and the children of Israel assembled themselves together and camped in Mizpah. Mizpah means watchtower. Remember I told you where the study ends up tonight? Mizpah. Watchtower. Now at this point, they don't know what God's going to do. You hear that? They know what's coming, right? They're being oppressed. The enemy's right there. Okay? Look at the church right now. Spirit of Antichrist, right? Can you think about it? John writes to the church, the 1 John chapter 2. Many Antichrists are in the world, and he says, and you know Antichrist is coming. He wrote that almost 2,000 years ago. And so you know this is coming, and yet it's not here yet, but I'm seeing everything. Wars and rumors of wars. We're in another one. World War III rumors are going around all the time. Now, just like if you read and just like and you see what's going on, if you want to know how far gone the Laodicean church can go, look at England and Great Britain. If you're aware of this, but in France, the church has actually responded to what was pulled in their country for the Olympics, and they're out worshiping and praising the living God. Of course, that doesn't make the news. Now, when I describe this, children of Israel camped in Mizpah, and the people and princes of Gilead said to one another, "What man is he that will begin to fight against the children of Ammon? He shall be head over all the inhabitants of Gilead." I just lay it out. My cry has now become, we need Jesus. We need Jesus to come. Mizpah. Right? And I'll leave you with this final verse. For me, this is Mizpah. Luke 21:36. Now, after doing my study and praying, and a lot of times I go on a walk and I keep praying and just take the study with me and I pray through it. And I don't know how odd this is to you, but this is like, it's so odd that it cannot be anything but the Holy Spirit for me. So I finished up my study. I was at the 25th Street Mall where the Caribou is, and in that mall, flatline guitar for you musicians in church. Okay? What is that other place in there? There's that, yeah, there's that one, but what's the other one that stays there? That's pretty good, actually. Anyway, that place, and I'm in there. And so I look at my watch, I got a little time, and I just go on a walk, and I got 10 minutes to walk, and I walk, and I kid you not, I'm walking down the street on 23rd, and back in there, there's these duplexes, and I'm walking by, and I just look over, right on one of the garages, it says Mizpah. I'm like, how do you do that? It's not a common word. It's not even English. I mean, who has that? Except now I'm fully convinced that what I brought us to tonight and what I now share with you next, whatever you want to do with this, I know what I'm going to do with it. I'm going to take it to heart. And I'm going to call us to put away the strange gods. Right? We've been exhorted by prophecy here, just as Ezekiel was told to be accountable as a watchman. That's Mizpah, right? Watchtower. Who's going to warn the wicked? Who's going to preach the gospel to the children of the other gods who came to live here? The best I can come up with, they're oppressed and captive. So when I give you those numbers of the increase of the population of Muslims in this country, it's not out of hatred, it's out of deep love. And I'm like, we have right in our midst the increasing number of people who do not know the living God. They have come here to be saved. Do you understand that? Now, will they all be saved? No. But when I say this to us, Mizpah, who's going to watch and pray? Luke 21:36. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. This is the section where he says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. A church that has turned aside to wisdom and philosophy and words of men for their healing? You've got to be kidding me that that's the God that many are going to follow after? Now, I describe it in this way. I'm going to follow this holy God. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that the day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. The Church of Philadelphia was promised to be kept from the tribulation. Now, in describing all this, Mizpah. I'm walking by this garage and I see Mizpah, and I have to bring us here. Have to. Watch ye therefore and pray always. Now, you can do your study, watch and pray, watch and pray, watchfulness, prayerfulness, watch and pray, watch and pray. You are far more ahead right now if you do only that, then you are if you get anything else done. And you watch and pray that you would be counted worthy to escape all that's coming to pass. Well, what is all that is coming to pass? I'm glad you asked. Revelation 6 through 19 describes the wrath of God that will be poured out upon this Christ-rejecting world in order for Jesus to take possession of the world that he purchased with his blood in order to save sinners out of it. Counted worthy to escape all that shall come to pass. All that's coming to pass is God judging this world by fire. First time around it was a flood. Who was counted worthy to escape? Eight people, eight souls. Now, in describing this, the question then arises, are few saved? Remember the apostles asking Jesus that question, are few saved? Well, let's look this up, right? You think about it in your mind. There's one way into heaven, and there's many gates into hell. It says, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. This gospel is the power of God unto salvation for those who believe. As we watch and pray, I'm going to let you all know the instructions of prayer abound. Pray to the Lord of the harvest for laborers to be sent out into the harvest. Watch, therefore, and pray that you may be accounted worthy to escape all that's coming to pass. What's coming to pass? God will judge every man according to his works. That's what he tells another one of the churches, the letters in Revelation. Two have this. I will fight against them with the sword on my mouth, and the other one is, and I will judge every one of them according to their works. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape and stand before the Son of Man. Escape all those things that are coming to pass. I am an escapist. Okay? I really think Mizpah. Now, as you prepare for next week, and just let me take this instruction, because read ahead, 40 verses, Jephthah. So they are there. They have not heard from God to get together. Remember all the other judges? The Lord says, do it this way. Spirit of the Lord comes upon them. They gather people together. They're all gathered together and watching. They're at watchtower, and they have no instruction from God. They're going to be crying out for anyone who would come and lead them and be able to deliver them, and they're willing to put that authority into that one who's coming. Now, when I describe to us here at Mizpah, watching and praying, while the rest of the church is Laodicean, are you interceding for the Laodicean church? Are you crying out for mercy and repentance? All I get to, I think of Judges 10:10, and I'm like, the children of Israel sinned, and they cried out to the Lord and said, we have sinned. I don't know if we'll ever have one voice. I don't know if we'll ever see that happen where we'd say that the church in this world cried out to God and said, we have sinned. Now, I can't speak for the whole church, nor am I looking for a prophet to the world, or even a prophet to the country. We have this prophecy. We have this instructions. I said, but I think there could be a church that might be willing to be of one mind and one voice and with one mouth to glorify God. Take that, what is necessary to do, and crying out for mercy and repentance for a city, and crying out, we have sinned, and seeking the mercy of God for forgiveness. Do you cry out for this city to escape all the things that are coming to pass? Because on the watchtower, right, the watchman on the wall, what's he crying out? He's warning when danger's coming. I think if there's one thing that we're accountable to God unto and for, is that which he has revealed to us by his Spirit, that judgment and wrath is coming. And if we do not warn through the preaching of the gospel to warn the wicked that judgment is coming upon them, we're not watching and praying as we ought to. We're not Mizpah. To quote The Incredibles, I'm still geeking out about Mizpah on the garage. Does that not strike you all? If you're wondering if watching and praying matters, I just tell you, as your pastor, I watch and pray for every one of your souls. I come to tonight's study, and all I know is Luke 21:36, Mizpah, watchtower, watch and pray. So when I ask you to pray for me on this upcoming trip, I mean that with all my heart. And when I say, men, Saturday nights, get your Saturday night and get here and cry out for this city, cry out for this state. And we're not done yet. Last Sunday was about waking up for our ministering the gospel to the world. I'm watching this. It's not going to take us years to get things in place. God's going to say, get up and go. And we're either going to be ready to go, or we're going to tell him no. So when he gets up and says, you go to this city and warn them, don't be like Jonah. Or when he says, get up and go. Again, I've prayed for Poland for years. So here's how I think this works. Is that Ukraine, Poland, so many Ukrainians now in Poland. I believe the Holy Spirit gave that to us a long time ago, knowing what would happen when it was coming. So I won't be surprised when he says, let's get over there. And we've got some work to get done. Some Holy Spirit work to get done. Now, do you believe, like I believe, that God will give us an open door invite to share with the mosque all about the Son of God? And then if you believe that, you have the gift of faith, or you at least believe I have the gift of faith. I'm willing to stake put your trust in the Lord. If you want to say Mizpah, watch and pray always, it does not say gather up your supplies. It does not say get your defenses. It does not say anything other than what? Watch and pray that you would be counted worthy to escape. What makes you worthy to escape? What makes you worthy to escape is that he puts the earnest of the Holy Spirit into you. He seals you. He marks you. You're his. So we got to stop somewhere. Communion time. Probably the best way to hand this off to you, and I use the phrase Mizpah. And I can't commission you more than the scriptures are commissioning you. Right? But our Lord, what our Lord said to us, watch and pray. If you just take it that way, and then you personalize it. The Lord said to me, watch and pray. You have family members. I'm praying intently for one of my pastor friends, his three prodigals, as if they were my own. Now, you starting to catch that? No, that type of watching and praying. So, Father in heaven, we remember Jesus tonight. Brunson and David, why don't you guys pass out the crackers and the grape juice? Kelly's in on it. Okay, so Kelly and David, you got it. Did you already have somebody lined up? Oh, Travis. Were you lined up? David. All right. Father in heaven, we glorify Jesus. Lord, thank you for all that logistics being worked out. Jesus, you are Lord. Your suffering and your death on the cross was painful, the most painful way invented for a man to die. And yet, Lord, your life wasn't taken from you. You laid it down. As it were, you gave up the ghost. You breathed your last and you saved us. Jesus, we remember your blood. Remember your body broken. Remember the life you've given us. We worship you tonight. Thank you and praise you, Lord. Just watch and pray till you come. In Jesus' name, amen.